the Columbia Basin, east of here, was sagebrush. Nothing there. It was dryland farming. We had the Columbia River to irrigate our crops here. But, you know, we only get 10 inches of rainfall here, so we're desert climate.
I remember when I was a kid, and we'd have 4th of July picnic down at Bulen's Eddy. My dad and another neighbor, they sit there and whittle on sticks. And I figure, think they're going to dam up this old Columbia River. Couldn't imagine it damming up the Columbia River.
My father homesteaded here after World War I, and my mother's parents also had a homestead in that area. Well, we were in the sheep business primarily. We had cattle, but we primarily had sheep. And we'd run those, and then the dam started. This was a sagebrush desert. And all of a sudden, there was people coming from every direction.
The first work that was done was hiring excavation work, and it was started in the fall of 1933. There wasn't anything at the dam site. There was literally nothing but sagebrush and sand. And here people would start coming in and camping out on the sagebrush.
In 1935, in June, my dad and I drove a 1929 Graham Page, big old car, and my dad and I drove all the way from Las Vegas to Grand Coulee. We lived in numerous shacks, a tent attached to the car, but winters were terrible at Grand Coulee. We bought some land about 4 miles out of town at Delano. We built some apartments, but we lived in a shack there. I carried water there.
A boom town like you'll never see again. Because a job of this type and the number of 7,000 or 7,500 employees at the peak to build the dam and the limited amount of machinery that was available in the 30s to do this kind of a job, you'll never see another job of this magnitude again and employing that many people.
We had 7,700 workers come in on this project. Across Banks Lake from where I live right now is a cave. And I can tell you firmly that that cave was occupied by workers at the dam. The housing was terrible. Tar paper shacks.
The place that is called Grand Coulee now was developed as the center of mostly the town that was not owned by the contractors. Up at Grand Coulee, it was the story of dust in the summertime and mud in the wintertime, and there were the usual construction town problems of lots of prostitution and bars all over the place and very little control of what was going on. It was really a frontier development during the first couple of years of 1933, 34, and 35.
My sister and her husband, they started a cabin deal where you could rent a cabin. And you could rent one of those cabins. All there was just barely big enough for have a bed. I was going with a girl at Almar. I would work all day. I slept in the cabin, but I'd eat a meal downtown. And I'd take a shower, change clothes, eat my dinner, then go out and see my girlfriend. And then I'd come back about 11 o'clock. I'd get in bed and sleep and get up and work the next day. And I was driving a Chevrolet car. At that time, I bought a brand new Chevrolet car, a standard model, $640. And I wouldn't even make a down payment on one now.